Hi, welcome to the Bridge Podcast. I'm Ashton.
I'm Olivia.
And we are on our third episode called Being PC. I'm sure that this goes without saying, but just a quick trigger warning. There's going to be a lot of things talked about today that are probably going to easily offend a lot of people when, you know, involving PC culture. So if you're particularly sensitive to nearly any topics, you may want to consider skipping over this episode. Also, these are just us reporting things as we know them to be. We are not claiming to be all-knowing. If we get anything wrong, we will do our best to mention any corrections in the next episode.
Oh, by the way, there might be some arguing. I'm going to try and play devil's advocate, but I'm probably going to forget. So
that's fair. All right. So now we're going to introduce our guests for this time, Gail and Dylan. Why don't you go ahead and say a little bit about yourselves?
I'm Gail Harper. I'm the associate editor at The Bridge.
I'm Dylan Niebel. I'm the editor-in-chief of The Bridge.
Niebel.
Wow, thanks Niebel? For making fun of my last name.
This is like one of those names. Like, you remember Neville?
You mean from, like, iCarly?
Yes. Or Gibby?
That's quite the jump you made. All right.
Okay.
So, the first thing, I guess, to get the ball going on all this, what do you think being PC specifically, like, means? For me, being PC is just being very socially conscious at all times in order to try your best to not, for lack of a better phrase, piss people off.
I told you this earlier. I was talking with my aunt, Becky, who I rarely get to see because she lives in Germany. She's like, well, basically, PC is just being a good human being. So.
And of course, it's a matter of opinion. There are some people that think that being PC means you have to cry about everything. And those people, I don't particularly tend to enjoy their company because the list of words they like to use that they air quotes say they now can't are words they probably shouldn't have been using in the first place. But, you know, we'll talk about that later. What about you guys? What do you think?
I mean, to me, I think it's kind of changed a little bit. It used to me, mean something. You can't say anything because someone could get offended by it, you know. But now, like you said, it, just being a good human, like Olivia said, you know. So, I don't know. That's what it seems like to me. Like, it used to have maybe just in a particular crowd meant, you know, can't say anything. That's not politically correct. Or they use it as a mocking term. Whereas now it's kind of gaining traction in a better light, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good thing. It's important.
I actually think it's the opposite. I think that we're heading in a direction where we are trying to police everybody's voices more than what we used to. And I thought PC as a relatively good thing within the nature of understanding somebody's context when it first started to be a relevant term. But over time, I think it's become a thing where we are policing what people say more and becoming more offended than what we used to be for right or wrong reasons.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think that just depends on first of all, I would like to say that with most things, people define things differently than each other. So what one person may see as PC, another person may see as completely outdated by who knows how many years. In terms of policing, I would, like, what exactly are you defining as policing in terms of, like, for instance, if someone misgendered someone I know for a fact is trans and I ask them politely, like, hey, please use their proper pronouns, and they accuse me of policing them, I personally would think that's a bit of a stretch.
Well, it would be a stretch in this country, but in Canada, it is actually policing, and you can be fined or jailed for it. So in some countries, it literally is a policing issue.
Wow, Canada's hardcore when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Yeah, you can go to jail for misgendering somebody in Canada.
Interesting.
I think it can be taken too far pretty easily, and I think there are some contexts in which it's okay not to be, and I know that's kind of a dangerous statement, but like we were just talking about Bo Burnham and George Carlin, you know, I think in that realm of comedy, you kind of have to, in some instances, be almost a little offensive, you know, and in that realm, people understand this may not be what the person really means, but if someone does have an ill intention behind it, then that does become a problem.
I think that in terms of political correctness, and like, obviously there would need to be some kind of set overall boundaries, but there's just some stuff that seems to be more common sense. Like a good example, I was watching SVU the other day, and they had an episode talking about this, and it was in the show, a fictional comedian was trying to incite sexual violence, but he was trying to do it as like a joke, like in his words, and again, this was the episode's words, not mine, rape is not funny, but gang rape is hilarious, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it led to another character in the show getting assaulted because they thought that that was okay. But in terms of that, that's a pretty obvious line that you shouldn't be crossing in real life. Like, it's that's just not...
But
that's,
is it the comedian's responsibility for how somebody interprets something? That's the same thing, like, with this Joker movie.
Inciting violence is constitutionally defined. If you are inciting violence, you are not covered by free speech.
But I don't think that's inciting violence. I think he's a comedian. He's telling a joke. He's trying to be entertaining. He's trying to be funny.
It was
sometimes
directed.
Sometimes you can misread the room as a comedian, and or just one single person misinterprets what you have to say.
I should have been a little more clear about what happened in the scene. He was directly speaking to and making a joke of the woman who was assaulted. He was directly talking about her, and which eventually led. Yeah, he was directly talking about the woman in this scene who was later assaulted.
I mean, but you can also have comedians like, I think it was Louis C.K. who made the joke, you know, rape is never okay unless you want to have sex with someone and they won't let you, you know, paraphrasing. And that was kind of making a mockery of rape, not rape culture, but, you know, pointing out how ridiculous rape is in a way. So I think, but intention behind it is a big thing, and how it's delivered. And you have to be careful with that, especially if you're in a limelight.
You obviously have to be careful no matter what, but I think it is a matter of context and interpretation. And sometimes people do overreact, and sometimes people are right to be infuriated. I think it's, you know, the whole point of context is, you know, it's all circumstantial.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off about the Joker thing. You were saying something about Joker earlier?
Some people are claiming that the Joker movie is inciting violence, and I don't think, like, if that's your opinion, that's fine, but it's not the filmmaker's or the actor's responsibility to present you with a moral standard.
I agree, because if you're someone who goes and sees Joker or another violent movie and you go out and kill someone inspired by that, then you already were a killer in your heart. You know, if someone who was a, for all intents and purposes, normal person goes and sees a movie like that, that doesn't make them a killer. It may give them a theme, an avenue to be inspired to do that, but if they were going to do that and that inspired them to do it, then they already wanted to do it.
I agree that that's not inciting violence. That's not what I was saying. It was not an act that they watched and then did because they were inspired to do it. No, the comedian in this episode was directly speaking to the woman who was assaulted. She was there under, like, semi-protest. And because he was known for making those kinds of jokes. And when she called it out, he immediately, like, legitimately targeted her. So he, in my opinion, for that episode, he incited violence against her.
Yeah, that's not
that's
okay.
Different. That's, like, specifically direct. There's a difference between you watching a movie where there would, say, be people getting shot versus someone telling you, shooting people's okay, go get a gun and have some fun. That's like a very different thing.
I would have to see the episode to interpret it myself, but from what you're telling me, I can agree with what you're saying. But I would, I mean, again, like, as a comedian, you're also an entertainer like the movie makers, so sometimes you do have to take risks and be edgy in order to entertain. And sometimes it doesn't work out, and sometimes somebody in the crowd heckles you, and the entertainers get mad and they react inappropriately. It's just an unfortunate side effect of being on stage in front of a crowd.
But anyway, to circle back to the point I was originally trying to make, I feel like there's some more obvious lines than others that you just shouldn't cross. So the idea that we should have no PC culture, we should have nothing that's PC, everything should be perfectly okay, I strongly just don't agree with. there's some stuff that you just you don't do because it's just it's indecent. You should not do that to other people. It is sick.
Well, you don't do those things. I mean, there's a lot of things you shouldn't say or do, but that doesn't mean that everything should be enforced by law.
Which
most of these things aren't, but some people do try and direct it that way, and that's where I have a problem, is when people want to enforce somebody's speech with law, because the minute we start telling people words we can and can't say with law, then it's a downhill slope, and you can go with any word.
I agree with that.
I'm not necessarily disagreeing with that. However, I will point out, because I'm curious, because technically they do this. What do you think then of the FCC? Because isn't that kind of to a degree exactly what the FCC does?
I have a question.
Yes.
What's the FCC?
The Federal Communications Commission. Basically what their job is to censor things they find to be too inappropriate for basic television, basic radio, so on and so forth. They're also trying to get a hold of the internet. There's actually been a lot of controversy about that over the last couple years. That's the reason why people can't curse on television without there being a beep. It's the reason why things can't be too sexually risque in anything on television. And yeah,
thank God they don't own Netflix. Exactly,
we cannot say fuck on this podcast.
That's why they're almost irrelevant right now, and I hope it stays that way, because that right now they're pretty much limited to only censoring television and radio, which,
and sometimes podcasts.
Yeah, well, it depends on if they're produced by a particular entity, but
like a school.
Yeah. But right now, with the internet being the Wild West, we don't have to worry about that as much nowadays, and it allows us to open up more and see what everybody is like, for good or bad. And I think that is where we will find more connection and unity than to limit ourselves, because if I see somebody on the internet who I think is a POS, I'm not going to adhere to them as much as somebody who I can respectfully listen to. If that makes any sense. Mm-hmm.
I love the analogy that he compared the internet to the Wild West. Yeehaw.
It's been a common...
I'd call us the Wild West, or I'm specifically thinking of YouTube. YouTube has really changed a lot. Yeah. YouTube 2010, 2012, that was the Wild West. Right now, we are not in that world anymore. The algorithm and their terms of use, they've got their own FCC, really limits a lot of creators with a dissentive, you know, hey, if you do mention or say anything like this, we will not let you earn any money from your own creation.
And I don't think that's okay.
I don't think that's right.
I don't think that's right either, but you're also only talking about one website, whereas the internet as a whole, once content is out on the internet, it's there forever. It can be found. Even if it gets banned on YouTube, you can go somewhere to find it. There are some dark places on the internet, which is why I call it the Wild West.
So, I don't know if you guys remember this. It's probably a really, really inappropriate thing to talk about, but I'm going to talk about it.
We are not being very PC in this episode about PC culture.
So, I know I can't be the only one, but on YouTube, does anybody remember the no-no videos? You know what I mean when I say no-no.
Like the weird side?
No. I mean about the...
Oh, you mean when porn would accidentally end up on YouTube?
I was trying.
Those days are gone, man.
Well, and even then they had a rule that was like, if it's educational. They did. Like, if it was like, I don't know what I can and can't say. But
it'll get bleeped out, don't worry.
If there was like a model of a vagina and there was a woman showing you how to put a tampon in, like that was okay because it's educational. But even that educational term is, you know, subjective. Like, how do we know what porn is? Well, you know it when you see it, you know? I don't know.
The videos that I saw were not very educational.
What were you doing?
Olivia, you realize people will hear this. You may want to stop incriminating yourself. What would your grandmother say?
I was 10. I didn't know what was happening, in my defense, if you really want to pull that.
For those of you who could not hear, our friend in the background, Christy, said they got to start them young.
So that's probably why I'm the way I am now, if you think about it.
Let it be put on record that Olivia was traumatized by pornography. Right. Thanks, America.
At 10 years old. 10 years old.
Dylan, you're old as dirt. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I'd never seen those videos on YouTube that you were talking about.
Was I the only one?
My question is, what were you searching at 10 years old to come across?
It just
these
popped
things?
Up in my recommended.
Uh-huh. Girl, you're lying.
In your they pop up in your recommended. That means you were searching something there.
I don't know what was happening.
You're not helping your
the
case.
Algorithm did not exist whoa, yet, whoa, Olivia. You
wait,
don't have
wait.
That as an excuse.
You're telling me you guys never get weird videos that you have no idea how
we
they
do
got
now
they pop
because
in your
YouTube
recommended.
Algorithm.
There wasn't an algorithm, though, back then. Not like we have today.
Well, how the hell did I come across it?
You tell us.
You were searching.
Was I don't remember half my childhood, so
we need to move on before she like incriminates herself further. Okay, so what's your opinion on cancel culture versus accountability culture? I believe this is directly linked to PC culture. I think it's important to talk about. I am not a fan of cancel culture.
I have opinions. I have very strong opinions about
tell
this.
Us of your opinions, Gail. We love to hear them.
I think we should cancel culture.
Yes.
Because, I mean, I know you have in the outline accountability culture versus cancel culture. And I firmly believe that people can grow from their mistakes. Mm-hmm. And there are some things that you can't really come back from. But someone tweeting something 10 years ago that was sexist, that doesn't mean that they're a bad person
or
now.
That they're still sexist.
Or that
now,
they're still
even.
Sexist. Because people...
When you're 12
flash,
years old, you don't
change.
Know what you're doing.
I think people should have a chance at redemption.
I agree.
The ability to recant their statement and retain their presence and just trying to redeem yourself is important. I'm assuming we're talking about the deplatforming of certain internet.
Yes, that's what cancel culture is. And that's why I believe in accountability culture. Mm-hmm. Because accountability is when you have to take responsibility no matter what that means. So it means if it's a thing you can't come back from, you're still being held accountable because people are no longer supporting you. Like, say you've done something truly terrible to somebody mm-hmm. else. Versus cancel culture is about you are completely out of it no matter what the exact circumstances. If you did anything remotely transphobic, homophobic, etc. years ago before when you were probably younger and uneducated about the subject. Like, I'm not gonna lie, there was probably things I said when I was, I don't know, 14, 15 that I can see now were transphobic and were mm-hmm. wrong, and I have grown and have learned a lot since then why those things were incorrect, why those assumptions were wrong. Mm-hmm. I know better now.
Well, I have a friend in my personal life, and I've only known him for about a year, but I have seen him grow and change because he's from a very small town, and he had that small town mindset, which was, you know, racist and sexist and homophobic, and just last week he burned his Confederate flag because he realized it does hurt people, and he is growing from that. So, of course, that you people can learn and grow and change, and I think that's something that... With the internet, I think it's very one way or the other, you know, that it's not...
If you were terrible 10 years ago, then you're probably still terrible now, which means you'll always right. be terrible. And that's right. not true. That's so not true. People can grow up. People can mm-hmm. be educated and learn and do better and be better and genuinely evolve and change. And they deserve the chance to do so. That doesn't mean they're not held accountable. You can say that, hey... That was a shitty thing you said when you were 14, 15, 16. You shouldn't do that. And you can, and then I would in turn be like, yeah, it really was. Mm-hmm. The reason why I said it was because I didn't know that these things about the subject were apparent. There was no real solid research on it yet. I didn't know any people personally, and that was fucked. But it doesn't matter. It was fucked up of me, and I know better now.
And you've learned.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's accountability culture, and that's what I can get behind versus cancel culture, which is... You cancel them, you never look into it again, you don't go any farther, and it could ruin someone's life, potentially, who doesn't deserve it.
Yeah.
And there are some people who do deserve it, but again...
And somebody who does have the chance to redeem themselves may have a stronger message to say about that thing they have redeemed themselves for than absolutely. What we could gain from just canceling them out completely. I mean, that some of the greatest, most inspirational people come from redemption stories.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. I don't know how off-topic this is, and if it's super off, we can take it out. Alex can take it out. What do we think of the use?
Did you just steal my punchline? How dare you? We're fighting after this.
I'm sorry. I did.
Not really. She didn't say it right, so.
I'm wondering about the use of the word stupid or the use of the word dumb or idiotic. Is that offensive to people with mental handicaps? Is that not okay to say?
I have an interesting story. I would disagree
because that's not the root of where that comes from. For instance, okay. The R word mm-hmm. comes from, as a root of itself, in reference to people with Down syndrome. That's why it's wrong. Being stupid or being an idiot specifically comes from, it's an insult about people who chose to not vote. That's literally where it originated from.
I didn't know that.
They call people idiot. It is idiot, I believe. That's where that term originates from. They would call people who didn't vote idiots because they wouldn't vote. Oh. And so then it just, you know, became a thing. Personally, I don't think those words, like I said, it depends on where it comes from.
Okay.
The root is what would determine that. I don't think, personally, should not be bleeped out or anything.
What was your story, Olivia?
I was talking with Louise earlier because, you know, of the situation that I'm currently in, but I was talking to her about it, and I also brought up, like, we're doing PC today, so I just want to make sure I'm still getting the right thing. It was like, you're just trying your best to be a good human being, and then she brought up the R word. She's like, and then I went, well, what if I call myself retarded because I did something stupid? She's like, well, I would find that offensive of you calling yourself that and, like, being labeled with other people. But she also made the point, it's like, oh, if she says, like, this piece, she had a piece of paper, so say you're doing a homework and you go, this is retarded. Yeah. She said that's something different.
I think it's different. And I say things like that. I mean, it's a contextual thing. And, I mean, sometimes you're frustrated and you're upset with a piece of machinery and inanimate object.
I still think you shouldn't say it because, like I said, the root of the word is where the offense comes in. It's because when you say, if you call yourself the R word and you're meaning you're calling yourself stupid, that's implying people who have Down syndrome are just stupid, which isn't true. It's not at all true.
But it is. And it used to be, like, that used to be how the diagnosable
10 years ago,
term.
That was incredibly common, we've learned since.
My uncle is diagnosed as mentally challenged, or however you need to politically correctly put it. But, you know, my whole family, back when he was diagnosed, it was a common phrase to say, yes, he's mentally retarded. And they grew up speaking that way, so for them, it's not a matter of being offensive. It's just the proper word that they grew up, the proper terminology that they were given by the doctors at the time.
Words can change, though, over time. Like, for instance, like how people can call themselves queer now as a reclaiming of the word. This is like the opposite of that. What once was technical terminology can now was overtaken and then used as a slur and an insult against all kinds of people, which changes the connotation of the word. And I think it's important to remember that, 'cause the connotation of the word can evolve and change.
Well, yes, it can change. But for some people, it doesn't change because it's what they're used to. I'm not saying that for me personally, but I'm saying that because I know people like that. And they mean no harm by it. It's just the terminology that is relevant to them.
Like, more
well, what
the
would you
baby
say
boomers
then to a 70, 80-year-old person who refers to a person of color as the N-word because that was what they grew up with and was told was acceptable?
I can
would they get a
answer
pass
this because I've been in this situation. No one is going to believe me. But I have a family member. She's older. I love her to bits and pieces, but she did say that word, and I knew she meant no harm by it. So it depends on the situation. Like, for me, it was a family member, so I didn't say.
I think in that situation, that's an opportunity to say, hey, I know you didn't mean anything by that, but the history behind it, you can't say that word.
I think I was also, like, 13. Like,
I mean, yeah, but.
Because if you have somebody who speaks that incorrectly and they're older, and you maybe, like, I have family members like that I have tried to correct thousands of times throughout the years, and I just know it's not going to go anywhere, but I still love them, And in a lot of respects, they probably don't mean any harm and don't realize it. Even though I've told them, they just don't get it.
Yeah.
Because it is ingrained in them, like you said, if they grow up with it or that's what they're
surrounded. That's not what I'm asking.
Does that mean then that they get a pass? That's the question I asked.
No.
Does that then, yeah. Therefore, so we're in agreement. Whether or not they meant anything by it, whether or not they grew up with it, they're adults. They're still adults and they could still choose to learn. And the fact that they don't, I think, says something. So I think, yeah, hold that accountable.
That's.
There's a difference between jumping down someone's throat and being like, you're a terrible person now, Grandma, and being like, hey, Grandma, that word isn't okay to say. This is the reason
but
why. Maybe
you
should try to avoid
Grandma.
That.
If it's truly ingrained within them, and that means they are incapable of that change.
No, I don't believe that.
I don't believe that.
I think if you grow up with something your entire life, I think you can still learn.
I'm not saying people are incapable of learning, but there are people who are incapable of trying to learn.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
Well.
Canceled.
Well, if you really want to put it that way, like, people who are forgetting, they could, like, you could tell them and they're going to forget.
I'm not talking about people with dementia and Alzheimer's. I'm talking about regular, run-of-the-mill elder people.
Well, they're older, so they're going to think we're stupid no matter what we tell them because they're older.
But that doesn't mean you can't.
That doesn't mean you can't try
you
or
can't
that
bring
you
it
shouldn't.
Up.
You're right. You should.
Yeah, you can try, but
they're still going to tell you to be quiet.
But there may also come a point where it's like, I've tried so many times, it's not worth fighting every time over it.
And that doesn't mean, you know, if it does get to that point, that doesn't mean that you're complacent with it. You know, you've still attempted to help them, but I don't know.
Next topic. A slippery slope.
It is.
It is a direct tie-in, though, so we did not go very far off.
Good.
Do you think there are, or should be, limits to free speech, specifically when it comes to things like hate speech? Mm. I think that, like, there's certain words that it's obvious. Just, you're an ass. If you use them, I'm sorry, but like
freedom of speech, but not freedom from consequence.
Yes,
and that is something that's very
also
pertinent.
Supporting free speech and air quote supporting hate speech, I do not think are the same. You can support free speech and accept that hate speech exists. You can accept and acknowledge that they have the right to use it, but that doesn't mean you therefore then support it and are okay or complacent with it. There's a difference.
I mean, I agree that, like, supporting somebody's right to speak hatefully does not mean that you support what they're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the terminology of hate speech is pretty broad. Like, what does one define hate speech as is different from person to person. And, again, the consequence of saying those things is different from person to person.
Well, there's just, okay. I think it's not as murky as you're making it sound. I'm not saying it's all cut and dry, but you can't say things like c**t. You can't say c**t. You can't use the N-word. You can't. There are obvious words.
But you
words.
Can. Like, not that you should, but you can.
But you should not say either.
But, I mean, you shouldn't, but that doesn't deliver you from the freedom of consequence of facing those things, you know.
If I post those things on Facebook, I'm probably getting fired. I'm just saying.
And that's how.
But if you made a satirical comedic skit about it, you may be praised for your wit and humor and cleverness.
And again, that comes down to context.
Exactly.
And I think that is different. And like you said, it's not cut and dry. It is very case by case in certain things.
So
a good example to talk about, actually.
Olivia,
oh, sorry.
So I was going to say a good example. I'm going to pick on Dylan.
Again.
Because he's the only boy talking as of currently.
Okay.
If he were to say something very sexist of me, like, very sexist towards me, I have, if I punch him in the face, is that a reasonable consequence?
It's battery.
Is it really?
I mean, okay. What would I say? I mean,
Olivia, you shouldn't be doing computer work because you're not smart enough because you're a woman.
You need to go have a baby, bitch.
Yeah, that is incredibly ridiculous thing to say and sexist.
People say that though. That's the thing.
I'm not a baby maker.
Yeah, and I mean something like that. I mean, if he was Dylan, not that you would ever do this.
Yeah.
If he or any man was physically attacking you, or any person for that matter was physically attacking you, you have the right to defend yourself.
Oh, absolutely.
But saying something sexist or anything like that.
To provoke you.
To but provoke if, you. There, but if there are I other said steps.
That something like that sarcastically to one of you as a friend, like I made to Gail or Christy over there, that again, that comes back to context.
And we understand, we have that rapport with each other. You know, if a man was just working in an office and said something like that to a woman, you know, for just to be sexist, then that is a completely different context.
Also, we're not talking about consequences as in violence. We're talking about consequences in what I was going to say as my example. On campus, David Hyen, who is the board chairman. He's the board chairman for the College Board. And earlier this year, after he was voted in by 11% of the county.
Go out and vote.
Yes, please vote. Please vote. But anyway.
Show up tomorrow.
They found on his on his Facebook page a lot of very anti-Muslim, xenophobic, racist sayings that were explicitly so. And it was very upsetting to a lot of people. There was a giant protest about it that wanted him to step down. He did not step down, unfortunately. And a lot of people felt very strongly that someone with such extreme and honestly hateful opinions should not be in charge of a college whose entire message is that hate has no home here. That we are accepting of all kinds of students, no matter what their religion, their orientation, their race. Like, it's irrelevant. And so it just... things of that nature. Yes, there's also a lot going on. When this podcast comes up, it'll be probably long over. But there will be another meeting tomorrow where they will be discussing the future of Dale Chapman. And to the future us, let's hope that it went well. But but like I was saying, that's what we're talking about accountability, is that when someone says terrible things like that, they should be held accountable. If you have such strong and hateful opinions, then I don't think you should have power that affects those people, because you clearly have a harsh bias against them that's unnecessary.
I mean, did he have the right to make those posts? Absolutely. It's Facebook, it's public, you know, you can say those things. Should he have? No. Should he be on the board? No. You know, like you said, he's overseeing people who come to this school who are very diverse, and if he has those biases, then no, he should not be overseeing our school. And honestly, I think it's a shame that he's still on the board.
And to be clear, the reason why it's wrong is, if I can't believe I have to explain this, but there, I know there's going to be people that want me to explain why this is such a bad thing. Those biases cloud your judgment. They do. They cloud your judgment. And you need to have a very clear judgment to be in charge of major things like that.
I mean, I totally agree. I'm not for public figures, elected officials. I do not agree with elected officials being so prejudiced and xenophobic. I think if somebody has those sort of biases, they shouldn't be representing of the people, because those are part of the people they're representing. I mean, it is, to me, it's kind of self-explanatory. So I am in complete agreement with you on this one.
But that's what we meant by, like, holding people accountable versus, say, like, you know, committing battery in response. Like, I think what you were more trying to talk about was, like, the punch a Nazi thing, which, while understandable, and I'm not saying I wouldn't do it if I was in such a position to punch a Nazi, it is still legally considered battery and you can get in trouble. Which kind of brings up an interesting question. Do you think that people have the right to be Nazis if that's the lifestyle that they choose? And it is a lifestyle.
Well, I think they have the right to choose so, but I think they're kind of ridiculous for doing it and have no it's really in some sort of ass backwards ideology, living in a country that fought against the Nazis to then decide to be one.
An entire world war, folks. But then again, we didn't get involved in World War II. We looked the other way a lot until Japan attacked us. Yeah.
This is true. But we also weren't even aware of some of the atrocities being done, such as the concentration camps, until we freed... Germany.
Even though they brought press there to show them, look how good we're treating the campers. See? Yeah. We're not that bad. It's a good thing we've never done that again.
Oof, called him out.
But then look what we did to the Japanese during that time. I know, I mean, there's a lot of bad things that governments have done all across the world. But it to me, it is just, it's really backwards and ridiculous for people to want to claim this Nazi ideology. But it is their right to do so. You know, idiots have a right to be idiots.
Well, and I think if they're in a position of power, if they, you know, manage an office, since we're going with the office theme, if they're a manager, they're not allowed legally to fire anyone because of their race or any sort of discrimination. So even then, they don't have full legal right to live that lifestyle in some aspects, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you know? But a lot of times those are like, they're underground clubs. You wouldn't even know that they are part of something like that.
So back to the whole office thing, like a manager can't fire someone for race. Do you guys remember that episode of That So Raven where Raven did not get the job, but her best friend did?
Yeah.
And the reason said, because the manager says, I don't hire black people. And I went, what?
Mm-hmm. I remember that. That was for Black History Month of that year.
Important.
That's very important.
I can't say I remember that because I never watched that show.
It was a children's show.
Cultured Swine.
It was after your time, Dylan.
It was on when I was a child. I just didn't watch it because, I don't know, it didn't appeal to me.
It's because, guys, to be sexist for just a minute, it's because...
Oh, boy.
Because That So Raven was targeted for girls and not for boys, which is wrong because it's a great show. Go out and watch it. I don't care what you are.
I don't watch Gilmore Girls either, but everybody tells me it's fantastic.
I didn't watch Gilmore Girls. So
Not watch Gilmore Girls. I have never had an interest in Gilmore Girls. It looks boring. I said it.
Just to clarify, help me out here. We're not talking about the Golden Girls, are we?
No.
Okay, totally different thing.
The Golden Girls are wonderful.
Because Betty White is an OG.
Christy.
I would marry Betty White. I just need that on record.
So would I, man.
Betty White's going to be here longer than all of us. There, I said it. We need to leave a better world for Betty White because she's not going anywhere.
Fun fact, Betty White is actually older than sliced bread. You can look that up.
Yeah, so if something's better than sliced bread, you can now say it's better than Betty White.
Yeah.
Which is
that,
not
that would
possible.
Be a false statement, but you could say it. Olivia, you brought up the idea about sexism in terms of like business related issues, or you know, being PC, I guess, because you mentioned actually racism. But either way, it's interesting you bring that up. I found out not long ago the reason why the original Teen Titans was canceled was because most Cartoon Network shows at the time, and still today probably, are designed to sell toys. And during the time that it was aired, I think it's not this way anymore, but at the time, the show was centered to try to get boys to buy the toys. But the show was actually more popular with girls. So girls were buying all the toys. And so because it wasn't getting their targeted audience, despite the fact they were making a crap ton of profit, they considered it a failure, which is why the show was canceled. So literally, it got canceled because it was doing too well because girls liked it.
And now we have Teen Titans Go.
Gross.
I don't like how they left us on that cliffhanger in the OG Teen Titans. I went, wait.
Don't even. It'll make me so mad. But that's what I'm talking about. And I think that's why, talking about being PC or why it should exist is relevant, because in a PC world, they would know that's stupid. You're making profit. Who cares what gender of the person buying the product is? You're getting money. The show is working. Keep airing it. Don't replace it with garbage.
I don't know if PC culture would have affected that. I mean, it's just an ultimate business decision.
Yeah, Teen Titans, I don't think it would have mattered.
People would have called it out for being a sexist reason. They would have.
If they would have known the statistics of the sales and their demographic reasoning, everybody would have had to know the ins and outs of their business to even get up in an uprise about it.
I think there are benefits to PC culture,
and this is my, not necessarily, and I'm not saying policing. I do not involve necessarily the law. That's not what I'm talking about. A lot of people have gained education through talking about those issues, like specifically what comes to mind, like, again, trans issues, what being trans means, how a person is born that way, why they do what they do. There is a lot more information and resources about it, in my opinion, because of PC culture, because they didn't shove that under the rug and just call them a bunch of freaks and never wanted to talk about it again.
I mean, I think it's important to learn those things, but I don't know if I would account all that knowledge to PC culture. I think it's just a product of time and what's happened with... Before PC culture existed, we've slowly progressed with civil rights and we've slowly progressed with women's rights. I mean, we've made progressions without PC culture, so I don't think it is solely accountable for...
But there is a lot more ways to go, and I think that the rise of more issues within PC culture is how we're able to be more aware of things that, like police brutality in terms of civil rights, you know, reporting and properly pursuing sexual assault cases for women's rights. Even what's going on with, like Roe v. Wade is still relevant today, talking about those kinds of rights. Like, I think that it's not because of, I never said necessarily it's because of, but it's definitely relevant and connected to PC culture. Because without it, if it, let's say, didn't exist, it would, a lot of it probably still be swept under the rug and acted like everything is fine and way better than it's ever been. And it's better, but it's could still use a lot of work.
I don't think PC culture in and of itself is necessarily new. I think that's just a name that it's been given.
Yeah.
Because like you said, we have had growth with women's rights and civil rights. And there
are even gay rights before.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And before PC was a term.
You know, and I think that's just a new name given to the same sort of ideology, you know, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. No, I hear what you're saying.
Honestly, I just feel like the term itself has become sort of this trigger word for both the right and left.
Yeah.
And it's a term that I think does more harm than good. I think the basis and everything that come, all the good that comes out of it can still be done without using the term. And I think at the end of the day, the term just causes more division because people hear that term and it triggers them and they don't want to hear what somebody has to say.
We kind of got a little bit off topic. To circle back around, do you think that there are or should be limits to free speech when it comes to hate speech? And what I was saying earlier was, like, you know, there's just some stuff you legally have, like, the right to say. You legally have the rights to believe those things, but that does not then mean you have the right to never face any kind of, like, social punishment if you say a racist word.
Yeah, I mean, socially, people have a right to react whichever they want.
There's not freedom of consequence.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you there. I mean, people have a right to berate or disown somebody or whatever, as long as they're not threatening or pursuing physical harm. If you say something that's inappropriate, you should be accountable, and you may receive some negative feedback, and rightfully so.
So,
well, what would you define in that way then? Because this, if with by your definition, would you think then someone saying that all, I can't say the word, not even for the beep, all certain slang word, terrible, should die. Not saying that I'm going to go kill them, but that they should die. Would you think that that would be then?
I think that's inciting violence.
I don't know if it's inciting violence, but it's definitely questionable. And definitely, I mean, that's something I would consider hate speech. And so, I think that term's used very loosely.
Going back to the whole consequences, I have another thing that popped my head because I'm the random person.
Okay.
Do you guys remember that episode of The Office?
I...
Where Michael Scott was being, you know, slightly racist. And so he was talking to Kelly in the accent, and she got offended and she slapped him. Is that Like,
that's battery.
Yeah, it's I can understand where the reaction comes from. That doesn't necessarily justify it, because it's not like self-defense. It's not like he was physically attacking her.
You would be legally held accountable if that happened in real life. If he decided to call the police and say, hey, this woman just assaulted me, I want to press charges for battery, they could totally come and charge her with battery. That's the real life of it.
Yeah, I mean,
that's why the whole punch a Nazi thing did not necessarily go over well for people who apparently were offended at the idea of punching a Nazi in the face.
I mean, the concept, just in concept, is terrific. Love that.
I mean, what did your grandparents do during World War II? Because I know. So, we gotta move on. I guess next up on the list is, do you think that PC culture is prevalent on our Lewis and Clark campus?
I would say it's definitely prevalent, just because it's part of the world we live in right now, especially amongst the younger demographic, which is mostly what a college campus is. So to ask if it's relevant at our campus, I think it's almost inevitably so. I mean, it has to be, because that is the world we live in now.
But also, bouncing off of that, we are in Godfrey, which is right next to a lot of small towns like Brighton and Kemper and Medora.
In Jerseyville,
where there is that small town mindset. But we're also next to St. Charles and St. Louis, and people come from both sides. And if you go to a school in a different location, it might be a little bit more PC. But here, I think it is, you know, I don't want to say a good balance, because you can't really balance, you know. Anyway, yeah. I think we have good teachers here who are very level-minded and very thoughtful for the most part. And then we have David Hyan.
I was going to say that I think, I don't know if I would necessarily agree with that, with it being prevalent. I have not yet had a particular situation, aside from the David Hyan stuff. Like, that was the first really big hit. Like, it was so big that Fox News came out and reported about it. But we've had Ivanka Trump on campus. We've had the Supreme Court here recently. We had Fareed Zakaria from CNN here as well. I would not say, particularly from what I have noticed in my experience, it would be like an in-your-face. Like, there's no We Hate Trump Club on campus.
Weren't there protests?
Was a protest.
I'm not saying.
But that was not necessary. But that wasn't like students.
Oh. Okay.
That was not like school was not in session yet when she visited.
Oh, okay. Dylan, what?
I'm just saying that like PC culture definitely exists here on campus, because we do acknowledge what is going on in the world today with that, because of the internet mostly. And so we do interact in a way relevant to PC culture, because we're aware of what's going on in the world. I've had several teachers ask students at the beginning of a semester, what is your preferred pronoun? And that's a good thing. It's a good thing for us to be aware of these things. Like I said, I'm not against PC culture, but I am against some aspects of it, and I think the terminology has become almost a cannibalistic thing.
Like I said, I don't necessarily disagree with that entirely. I think it's a necessary thing. I think it can have, as long as it's not taken too far out of control. And you know when it's out of control. It's obvious when it's out of control. But for the most part, it's a beneficial thing. I don't think necessarily that police and law should be involved with it. I think that's not a game you like to gamble with, because, you know, it can change very much on what is or isn't okay based on who's making those laws, who's, you know, signing those executive orders and
1984 George Orwell is a great representation. Oh my God, what could happen.
Yes. 1984, please read it. But anyway, I personally do not think nothing out of the ordinary. That's what I guess I should say. Obviously, we're all aware it exists and everyone has an opinion about it. Like, we're not, you know, ignorant to,
well, that's
it,
but what I'm would saying. Not. It definitely exists on campus.
When I think of it being prevalent, I mean, like, you're seeing protests for Black Lives Matter, women's rights, and so forth, like nearly every day. Like, there's some universities that it's incredibly prevalent. They have constant reportings on them.
And I don't really see that on this particular campus. Like, not often. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is the march every year. There are things that will come up, like what happened with David Hine. There was a protest. What's going on tomorrow with Dale Chapman? There's going to be a protest of them removing Dale Chapman because they should not be removing Dale Chapman. Things of that nature. But I would not say necessarily that PC culture is rampaging on Lewis and Clark.
I don't think it should be rampaging anywhere.
No, it shouldn't be rampaging anywhere. But I mean...
But that's what I think of when I hear the word prevalent.
Yeah. The lack of protest to me has not the lack of or presence of protest to me has nothing to do with PC culture. That's almost a separate entity of just different political ideologies being expressed.
You know what I'm trying to say, though.
Yeah. But PC culture to me is just like the way we speak, what we should say, what we shouldn't say. Canceling, banning, all these different things relevant to speech alone.
So, do you think culture appropriation during Halloween is an issue?
Since it is the month of October and Halloween's coming up, y'all!
We are the spooky lovers in the bridge.
I would want context. I see it as a very case-by-case kind of thing. Like, I think once you reach about 12, 13 years old, you kind of stop having a pass necessarily about appreciation. Like, you can be taught then why something is wrong. Like, to give a good example, if a 6-year-old little girl who is white wants to dress up as Mulan for Halloween, I think that's okay and not cultural appropriation, because she probably wants to dress up like Mulan because Mulan's a favorite character of hers from Disney. That's cultural appreciation and connecting to a favorite character, not appropriating Chinese culture. They're 6. They don't know better, and they probably can't understand it very well. If you try to tell a 6-year-old, you're a bad person if you do that. That's not going to make sense to them because they're a kid. They don't get those kinds of nuances yet. However, an 18-year-old in blackface on Halloween is not okay because they are old enough to understand why that's wrong, the history behind it, and why it's racist.
I think those are kind of two different issues, because you're talking about, you know, Asian culture versus degrading black folk, you know? And in blackface for anyone... is wrong, because either you're old.
True.
Either way, you're old enough to understand that it's wrong, or your parents made you put that on. So my,
unless you're Robert Downey Jr.
Ooh,
yeah, that goes back to cancel culture. Yeah,
but he pulled it off in a satirical, comedic way that made it work, and there was no negative feedback from him doing it that way. Again, it goes to context.
Oh. I don't know. I haven't seen Tropical Thunder.
All right. Then would you think then a 19 or 20-year-old white woman who dressed up as a famous historical Chinese figure would be okay?
What do you mean as in dress up? Do you mean put on?
Like for Halloween.
The garb? Okay. So if she's like putting tape on her eyes, that's, I don't want to say the equivalent of blackface, but it's the appearance. You know, if you're wearing a traditional Chinese dress because you think it's beautiful, and that comes down to the line between appreciation and appropriation. I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. We were talking about this the other day. It's what's your intent behind it?
I think I may have picked the wrong culture that I was trying to talk about.
I think
this one's, not to interrupt, but this one is a better example, and it's a lot bigger and has been come up a lot more. All right, 6-year-old white girl wanting to be Pocahontas, or a little boy wanting to be an Indian chief versus a 20-year-old wanting to be an Indian chief, full headdress and all.
I think he still has a right to do so. If he really appreciates the culture, and I mean, if he's appreciating the culture, that's fine. You may not appreciate him appreciating that culture, but it is history. And we live in a society that is supposed to be a melting pot society, where we learn and we are supposed to be connected to all cultures within this one culture. And to say that somebody can't do this, it's like if that little six-year-old girl who dressed up as Mulan decided to do so again when she was 18 or 20, why can't she if she appreciates that culture?
So,
like I said, I think it's a very context thing. I acknowledge that appreciation is not appropriation.
Well, with the headdress, that sort of thing, what's I lost my train of thought. What's his reason for doing that? Is it for fun? Is it for shock factor? You know,
I imagine it's probably for fun because it's Halloween.
Right, and that's the thing.
Well, it could be fun, but it could also still be appreciation as well. And
I believe that if you're going to wear something with a cultural background and historic background, you need to do research. If someone asks you why are you wearing that, you need to be able to give a good, solid answer as to why. And I don't
What if the answer you in return you get is, I just wanted to then, though?
But why did you want to? You know, it's like...
Because I wanted to.
Did you just think it looked cool?
I guess so,
well,
yeah.
Well, what if they did just enjoy the aesthetic of it? I mean, is that I think necessarily evil and wrong?
That's the question I'm asking.
I'm not saying it's evil or wrong, but I think there's a difference between looking at traditional cultural art and appreciating it and putting it on your body. If you present yourself in that context, that is different from just looking at it. Okay, for example, this past weekend I went to Archon. My dad wore a kilt. My dad is not Scottish. So, and there are people, if you go over to Scotland and you are representing a certain clan and you're wearing certain colors, my dad could have gotten beat up. You know, if you don't know the history of those things. So you need to be able to know the history and of what you're wearing, you know? Yeah.
I mean, I agree with you for the most part, because I think you should know the history, but just, I mean, sometimes ignorance is bliss. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean you have bad intent either. I mean, everybody knows that blackface and things like that are bad intent, but...
Not everyone.
Mm-mm. Like, well, for instance, what if...
Majority.
See, I like how you guys are talking about, you know, the whole headdress thing. I'm stupid, so all I'm thinking is the YMCA. What if it's part of like that kind of group?
What?
I mean, that is a valid
YMCA.
That is a valid point.
And there's like a dude in a headdress.
Oh,
and again, that was a different time, and that's not to excuse it.
Okay, but what if you were part of a group?
The 30s had blackface. Yeah. I'm just saying. Like,
I don't think the YMCA was made in the 30s.
The point that Gail was making was like about it being in a different time, and mm-hmm. does that make it excusable? And the answer, of course, is no, not necessarily.
I mean, what if you dressed up as Charlie Chaplin and people didn't know any better and thought you were Hitler because of the similar mustache? I mean, again, it's your knowledge versus their knowledge could make things difficult.
I think Charlie Chaplin and Hitler dress a little differently.
Yes, but still.
You need the bowler hat. Does he have a bowler hat or does he have an armband? That's how you tell.
But for some people, they may not even relate to that, and they're just like, he's got a Hitler mustache, you know?
Well, that can open up a conversation, and if they go and spread something on social media, then...
Not if it's one of those punching Nazi people.
Then you can file for assault.
And you... Battery!
Yeah.
Dear God, is battery going to be the catchphrase of this episode?
I think so. No, but like
battery.
Energizer Bunny.
Along with getting, you know, wanting to wear a headdress, I don't think going out to like Walmart and because they sell those kinds of costumes. And again, if you're, you know, a 20-something year old college student who wants to go out and party and you're young and just want to let loose and you want to be sexy at a Halloween party, you don't have to dress up like a Native American. You can be a sexy nurse. You know, there's not cultural...
I don't think that they should be limited either. I mean, I just don't see it being as big of an issue as what people make it out to be in a culture that is supposed to be encapsulating all cultures. I mean, right. we're kind of like trying, like moving away from what we have always been taught and are supposed to be by... jumping down each other's throats so much with this right now.
And I don't think that anyone, because of the color of their skin, should not be able to wear something else. You know?
As a mom, if I were to become a mom one day, what I would tell my kids, like, this is, I had this discussion the other day. 12 to 13, no matter what, they kind of get a pass because, or up till that age, because when they're little kids, they don't, like I said, they don't get those kind of nuances. When they're older, though, I would have the conversation with them, be like, you know, if it's an appreciation thing, like if you wanted to dress up like Frida Kahlo, if you wanted to dress up like Mulan, etc., it's not that you can't, but this is the history behind it. This is why certain people may react the way that they do. And then, you know, educate them on why something may or may not be necessarily appropriate.
But you as a parent, wouldn't that be your responsibility?
Absolutely.
You know, not just to say, okay, you're young, you can kind of, you know, do whatever you want. But even if they are 6 or 7 and they're not going to understand the concept of cultural appropriation, that's still your responsibility to decide whether or not you're going to allow your possibly white daughter to dress up like a princess of color. Some
people might go after you for letting your child do that.
And I don't think it's necessarily wrong. I'm just saying I think that might come back to you.
I would clap back pretty quick on that. And I would say, listen, if my daughter loves Mulan because Mulan is a historical badass who
actually facts
is no... I'm not going to tell my child that it's wrong or that she's a bad person or a racist because it's not... It's like I said, context.
What if she's 20 and loves Mulan and still looks up to her?
Right.
She's a grown. My daughter in this question would be an adult. I would give. Like I said, I would talk about it. I would give that opinion. Like, you know, it's a free country and you can do as you wish, but there are these nuances to it. And then if you accept that responsibility and the possible feedback, then as an adult, that's an active choice that you have made. And again, like I was saying earlier, it's at times obvious to know the difference. Like you said, is she putting tape on her damn face? Then yeah, that's messed up. That's not cool.
Like I said, I kind of agree with what you're saying, because it's all pretty contextual, and I really just think that it's not as big a deal as what we are trying to make it out to be. Yes, it should be talked about and understood, but the extent that some people... get triggered to is kind of ridiculous in my opinion, but who am I, you know? Some people may say
male.
Yeah, some people would just say my opinion doesn't matter because of who I am, what I was born as,
which I also think is ridiculous in
my agree opinion. What another good example in terms of all that, I know. What would you think then in response to a couple's costume of Thomas Jefferson and Sally Hemings? What would be your response to something like that?
That's hot.
That cool. You do you. See, I think there are certain things that are wrong, but at the same time, it's Halloween. I get confuzzled, you know?
Yeah, Halloween's supposed to be about fun and freedom of expression.
When you brought up the Native American thing, it was like, why are you in that headdress? Because I wanted to. It's Halloween. If they wanted to be it, they have a right to be.
But those cultural roots go back super far for some people, and you have, you know, people saying, my culture is not a costume, you know?
Wearing a headdress is a very serious thing, actually, to Native American people.
To some tribes. But to some, I mean, it's dependent on the person. Some of them don't feel as strongly about it as others.
But, like, if I were to see someone, you know, covered in black paint doing the thing, I'd be like, take that off.
Well, and I think, you know, body paint, because you can put on dark body paint to be, like, I don't know, a weird version of Groot and wear brown body paint. You know what I'm saying? Or, like, a character who is actually, like, a non-human character who's actually brown. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Not that kind of thing, but,
I know, but...
That's pretty easy to spot.
Because I don't consider that being blackface. Even if they are covered in a dark color, I don't think if they're not...
Because they're not making a character out of people of color.
Right, they're not emulating a black person.
What if you had a friend who was really good at like doing professional makeup and they pulled like a Robert Downey Jr. on you, as in Tropic Thunder, and just so you could dress up as Jimi Hendrix or some other historical black figure. I mean, is that necessarily offensive? Because it's professional makeup. It's not the derogatory, direct negative image that blackface is.
But the act itself cannot be ignored from its roots.
And you can still dress up like that character without having to paint your face or your body as their skin tone. You don't have to, I'm white as all get out. Like, I can cosplay. It's not that hard to get to be a darker person than me. Okay, I'm very white. You know, so just because I'm cosplaying a character who's a few shades darker, whether they're Native American or, you know, I can still dress up as that character and not have to paint my skin, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you don't have to, but I'm just saying, is it as offensive as blackface?
I'm talking about what if they do it just to do it for that offensive reason. Am I allowed?
Like to make a character, like to be a character?
No, like to be like stereotypic.
Yeah, that's what a character is.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Yeah, that's totally wrong. So that means
I am fully allowed to deck them in the face.
No.
No, you will get charged with battery.
Battery.
I don't care. Let's do it.
To any police officers or anyone with any legal authority who may be listening to this podcast, she's kidding. Please. Please do not arrest her. We need her. Please say you're kidding, Libby.
I'm full-heartedly kidding.
I think we're going to go ahead and end on that note. Please make sure to check in with us again next time. Next episode's going to be our Halloween special.
Spooky, scary!
Booga, booga, booga.
All right. Thanks for listening to us. I hope I've played enough devil's advocate for everyone today in Livy's absence.
I was supposed to do that.
Yeah, I did it for you.
Thanks.
All right, guys. We hope that you have a great night. Bye.
I would marry Betty White.